Welcome to today's Let's Talk Indianola. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with KnotFest Director of Operations Rich Ramos about the upcoming concert Saturday. Huge concert coming to Indianola this weekend as KnotFest is bringing 30,000 visitors to the area. Let's talk a little bit about logistics of the event. It's not an easy thing to set up and a lot of moving pieces, so tell us a little bit about and just give us an overview of what it's like handling that many people coming to Indianola.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant undertaking, just to say the least. At this point, we have, as you said, we have 30,000 people coming to town for the event. A lot of traffic coming through town. And one of the things that has been really kind of first and foremost on our minds as we were building this whole thing out was making sure that we had good traffic routes in. We've been working closely with the city to ensure that we can get people in and out as quickly and as efficiently as possible. The reality is we also know that 30,000 people coming to town, there is going to be some traffic challenges, especially on 65, 69, because we know that's where the bulk of our traffic is going to be coming. But we're working with them. We have separate routes for all of our people that are driving into the show. Like I said, most are coming from the north. But then we also have 35 shuttle buses that are going to be running throughout the day from Southridge Mall, and we're doing everything in our power to try and encourage folks to take our shuttles, which we have routed a completely different way from the rest of the traffic to get them into the site and get them here for what's hopefully going to be a great day for them all.
Well, we really hope so, too, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun. As far as parking goes, I know that's not an easy thing, and even bringing in some people who that's what they do for a living, talk about that aspect of it, because I find that to be just fascinating.
Yeah, we knew that parking was going to be a challenge. When we knew what the capacity was set at for the show, we knew that we were going to be needing more than just the normal parking that balloons use. So we're not only using their parking that they normally use, but we're using their auxiliary lot that is to the west of the spectator field. But then we've built our event field basically where a lot of the balloons take off, closer to the pilot's compound and the sponsor place. But we're taking the rest of the property that's surrounding our event field that the balloons has, and we're also parking in there to help us facilitate that, because again, that's, you know, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 cars. We have enlisted the help of the company who does the parking for Coachella and Bonnaroo and a lot of major festivals across the country to help us efficiently do this and get people in and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of where we are with that.
We'll talk a little bit about what the event that day will look like, you know, for those either attending or going to be driving by. I know there's going to be tents and vendors and what the stages are look like, and the stage dimensions to me are off the charts.
Yeah, the stage dimensions, it's a pretty significant structure. The stage is about 316 feet wide, so it's a little bit bigger than a football field. Anybody driving by right now will probably be able to see the structure. Even probably from just east of town, you'll probably be able to start to see the structure in the air. It's a massive structure, two stages basically built into one large structure that's going up. There's a lot of tents, a lot of infrastructure. Basically, the easiest way to put it is we're building a city in the span of like a week or a week and a half out here, and we're putting a complete infrastructure, everything from generators to light plants to everything else. We're bringing in Musto lighting to help us illuminate all of our parking areas and make it so it's a safe event so that people can see when they're needing to get in and out, all those sorts of things. So there's lots of pieces. We've done everything in our power to work with as many of the local vendors here in town and in the area to do what we need to do to make this happen. I know that we're getting our waste disposal locally. We are, Hy-Vee locally is helping us with catering this week. And last night when we had to stop a little bit early, thanks to the weather, we donated that food to the police and firefighters who are helping us tremendously throughout this week and throughout the event as well.
What can people expect the night of? I know it's you're going to be able to hear it. I think everyone has kind of accepted that, but just kind of talk about what that night entails.
Yeah, so bands start playing at noon, and music, bands are, there's about a 5 to 10 minute changeover between each act, so there'll be a slight lull in the music, Every act is a little bit different in time, length of time, but in between acts, there's going to be about a 5 to 10 minute lull. And then music will go until about 11:30, 11:45 at night. And at the end of the night, the show will go down and we will immediately start to tear down and clean up and get all of the gear out of the space. Well, but it, you know, it's going to be music all day. We have food vendors out here. We have beer vendors, in order to do everything we need to, like I said, to make it happen and have those who are here have a great day.
Well, you already mentioned it once, but I know working with a lot of local partners and a lot of moving parts with this, what was it like working with the Indianola community trying to help set this up?
Oh, they've been great. They've been fantastic. We've had a lot of people who we would have loved to have been able to bring in and use, but the challenge has been is that because of the massive scale of this, a lot of the folks had a little bit of a hard time accommodating all of our needs. Quite honestly, probably one of the biggest challenges, I think, has been our tents. And we've gotten tents for our events, but it's been a challenge, and we've had to go outside of the state to get the amount of tents that we need to support what we're doing. But by and large, we've done... Stacy with balloons has been fantastic, and she gave us a great list of vendors that they use, and we wanted to respect that list the best that we could. And everybody that we've reached out to has been incredibly helpful and supportive and appreciative for us reaching out to them. I know that we have at least one of the hotels booked up with our entire crew, and I know that the rest of the hotels in town are booked up solid for Friday and Saturday night as well. Our time span, typically, so that everybody knows, for travel where it's heaviest, it's going to be probably between 10 a.m. and probably about 5 p.m. is going to be the busiest travel time and when the streets are going to be the busiest. And then it'll slow down, and usually by 6 or 7 o'clock at night, it's going to be just like normal. So that's the only thing I'd want to say to people. But otherwise, we're excited to have it out here, and I think it's going to be a great event.
Thanks to Rich Ramos for joining us on today's program. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, find them online daily at KNIAKRLS.com under podcasts and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Let's Talk Indianola.